Next case will be 091495, Nosen v. Walmart. Mr. Hutchinson.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Leland Hutchinson, and I represent the appellants, Ole Nielsen and Geo Foundation. This case concerns, in our view, an inappropriate reliance on a Section 285 fee award in another case involving a far more extensive record of inequitable conduct and litigation misconduct that was not found in this case. The court below found exceptionality merely because the patents in suit had been held unenforceable due to the inequitable conduct in the prior Osram case.
Aren't they mostly the same patents and the same facts?
It's a subset, Your Honor. There are a number of types of inequitable conduct present in Osram that are not present here. And although from a collateral estoppel standpoint, we do not dispute that inequitable conduct was found, the exceptionality ruling in Osram did not relate to other than the entire course of conduct, and therefore is not preclusive here. Because the conduct here is a much smaller subset, the nature of that conduct should have been considered by Judge Gettleman based on what is in this record. There were affidavits in Osram, prior art patents in Osram that are just not relevant to any claim asserted here. And so the differences are important. In our view...
What is there in this case that suggests that the judge did not consider those differences?
Well, Your Honor, what the judge said on page 3 of his order was that our conduct was intentional, material, and repetitious. And the basic argument, the intentional and material elements are the basic elements of inequitable conduct. This court has said many times, including in the Osram decision, as well as from J.P. Stevens and Gardco from the late 1980s, that there is no per se rule of inequitable conduct. What we have is appellees agreeing with that on page 32 of their brief. But then on page 37, they say, quote, it is the perpetration of a deception on the PTO that renders this case exceptional, unquote. But that argument, with respect, is circular. As this court reminded everyone in Star Scientific recently, one of the basic elements of proving inequitable conduct is a specific intent to mislead the PTO. You have to be deceptive in order to be guilty of inequitable conduct. Thus, something more than the mere element of inequitable conduct, the mere prima facie showing, is required for the case to be exceptional.
Isn't that the same argument you made in the Osram case?
In Osram, we argued that, in fact, the inequitable conduct was benign. The court said not. We agree with that. We're not repeating that argument. But
sounds like the arguments are quite similar.
They are related, Your Honor, but the nature of the conduct still must be considered. Or there is a per se rule that every inequitable conduct case is exceptional. And this court has, on numerous occasions, denied that circumstance. So I believe that the nature of the conduct should have been considered by Judge Gettleman and must be considered here. This is, in Osram, the court affirmed based on two points: the combination of the inequitable conduct and the litigation misconduct. This is a case where we've got litigation misconduct only. And in those type of cases, you have to consider the nature of the conduct.
In this case, you have inequitable conduct only.
Right. Excuse me. Inequitable conduct only and no litigation misconduct. Although I recognize that appellees say in their brief that there were acts of our client that constitute litigation misconduct, they asked Judge Gettleman for litigation misconduct filings. He didn't give any, and they didn't cross appeal. So I would submit that that issue is not before this court. What we have here is a circumstance where the law of inequitable conduct changed between the time our client filed this case in 2004 and Osram in 2006. The Osram decision was clearly a case of first impression, and we cite in the record at 1727 and 1728 an admission by counsel for Osram to that effect. I note that in April 2010, Judge Rader published a Law Review article in the American Law Review, I believe, noting that that case was one of first impression, if I'm correctly quoting the article. The point here is that the conduct wasn't so clear-cut that the appellant should have known as at the time they filed that this was a case that should have never been brought, which is what Judge Gettleman found, or it was frivolous. This court, not 2 weeks ago, in Medtronic Navigation versus Brain Lab, explained that an argument, unless it's frivolous or objectively unreasonable, is not sanctionable merely because it's unsuccessful. But if you look at Judge Gettleman's order in this case, his refusal to consider the nature of the conduct, his refusal, his comment that close only counts in horseshoes, the reason he made that comment was that he found that we had failed and that our failure was complete and decisive. But what he's really arguing is the case is exceptional because you didn't succeed in OSRAM. He has not considered, either expressly or implicitly, any other factor other than the fact that we did not succeed in OSRAM. I would suggest, Your Honor, that he has to consider, he's applied the wrong legal standard, which is a matter this court reviews without discretion, without deference. And so he is in a position where he should have considered the nature of the conduct and whether it met the exceptionality standard, which I submit to the court has to be higher than the basic prima facie elements of inequitable conduct. And all that's in this record is the basic prima facie showing of inequitable conduct. There is nothing else that's been offered, and there's nothing else that's been relied upon. So under those circumstances, I believe the court below committed an error in applying the wrong legal standard. He committed a second error, I believe, in applying what amounts to a user pays rule. On page 4 of his order, he states, quote, the primary purpose of Section 285 litigation is to compensate defendants in cases that never should have been brought in the first place, unquote. True, under this court's recent Medtronic decision, if the arguments were frivolous or objectively unreasonable, but not true otherwise. And there is no finding here that the arguments that were made by Mr. Nilsen or by Geo were either objectively unreasonable or frivolous, even though he does make a conclusion about frivolousness. There's really no basis that one would have known in 2004 when this case was filed that the OSRAM decision would move inequitable conduct law to the level that it did. Daco Products in 2003, this court said that it was still undetermined whether the Rule 1.56 patent standard for materiality applied to post-1992 conduct as opposed to the reasonable examiner standard as well. This was all post-1992 conduct. There was no finding in OSRAM that any of the three types of inequitable conduct relevant here relate to Rule 1.56. So the law was in flux. This was not a clear-cut situation. And those are factors that Judge Gettleman should have considered but did not. If there are no other questions, I'll reserve the rest for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, I've been asked to present the oral argument on behalf of all four appellees. And with all due respect to Mr. Hutchinson, he is re-arguing settled factual findings. He argued just today and in his briefs that the nature and quality of the inequitable conduct below was benign, that Mr. Nilsen was being punished just for merely being unsuccessful, and that the inequitable conduct below was not clear-cut. My response to that is, first of all, it's a misrepresentation of record, and secondly, all of these factual issues regarding the nature and severity of Mr. Nielsen's inequitable conduct has been resolved. They are precluded under settled doctrines of issue preclusion.
Litigation misconduct part of the earlier case?
It was an additional ground. It's but as real. This court wrote in OSRAM 2, Judge Dara did not abuse his discretion and engaged in no clear error in finding an exceptional case under Section 285 based on the inequitable conduct alone. Both Judge Dara and this court recognized that the litigation misconduct was an additional separate ground. We have litigation misconduct here, which I'd be happy to talk about, but I think it's important to revisit what is in the record, contrary to Mr. Hutchinson's argument that it's just all benign inequitable conduct. You'll remember what Judge Darris said about Mr. Nielsen's failure to pay the large entity maintenance fees. He said that Nielsen's conduct was highly material, that Nielsen engaged in an obvious intent to mislead. He found that Nielsen engaged in repeated misconduct in failing to pay the large entity maintenance fees. He found that Mr. Nielsen's excuses were, quote, not credible. And he said that he was making these findings based on clear and convincing evidence, end quote. This court then affirmed in the Osram 1 those factual findings regarding the severity or nature of Mr. Nielsen's inequitable conduct are resolved. They are precluded from further review under settled doctrines of issue preclusion. Notwithstanding that, we just heard a re-argument of it, and in his brief, Mr. Nielsen argues, I'll just give you a couple examples. He argues at page 29 that his conduct consisted largely of technical errors that were at best only minimally material, end quote. At 42, he argues that the record contains no direct evidence of intentional deception. Well, I respectfully disagree. Judge Darrow found exactly to the contrary, and this court affirmed, and those issues now are settled, those factual issues. And I could go on and talk about the Motorola litigation, inequitable misconduct, the failure to cite material prior art, and as well as the misclaiming of priority dates. Those were all additional grounds of inequitable conduct found by Judge Darrow. And Judge Darrow made the same factual findings about the severity of it. He found an obvious intent to mislead. He found repeated instances. He found that Nielsen's excuses were not credible. And he found that this was really, really bad behavior, and this court affirmed. So
wasn't there another district court case roughly involving the same patents where the court held that it was not exceptional? Tennessee case?
Pardon?
Tennessee case?
The Tennessee case, that is correct, although that one has now been settled on appeal, where Mr. Nielsen has paid substantial fees to the appellees to avoid coming to this court again. And by the way, Mr. Nielsen comes here with quite a record. I'm from Chicago, where I practiced in the Northern District of Illinois for 33 years, and our judges there have repeatedly found Mr. Nielsen to have engaged in misconduct, and three of our judges, Gettleman, Judge Dara, and Judge Norgel, all have sanctioned Mr. Nielsen, and Mr. Nielsen's conduct has not escaped notice of our Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, which has observed his history of engaging in frivolous claims and frivolous litigation. So Mr. Nielsen and his so-called charitable foundation have a history, particularly in the Northern District, but also a history with this court. And I think my primary point and the most fundamental point is that this case comes up here on a record, a settled factual record, where seasoned and experienced district court judges found pretty bad behavior, and this court has affirmed those factual findings. And so now the issue is pretty simple. Based on this settled record of pretty serious, repeated misconduct, was a clear error for Judge Gettleman to find that this was an exceptional case. And I would respectfully suggest no. In fact, Judge Gettleman would have engaged in clear error if he said to the contrary after this court affirmed a finding on basically the same patents and same facts in Osram 2. And it wasn't within Judge Gettleman's discretion to retry all of these factual issues. They came to him on a record that was settled. They came to him with a record where these underlying factual issues were all precluded. I do want to spend a minute about the litigation misconduct in this case, if I may. It's really window dressing, because I think the law is settled that inequitable conduct by itself can constitute grounds for a Section 285 finding. But here, like in the Osram case, we have litigation misconduct. And again, we have...
Judge Gettleman made no rulings on litigation misconduct.
Right? Well, you won't find a section of his opinion labeled litigation misconduct, but you will find some statements that certainly go to that issue. He says, this is a case that never should have been brought in the first place. This is a case that was close.
That may have been just loose language.
It may have been loose language, or it may have reflected his feeling that there was actually litigation misconduct. We can all read what he said. He says it wasn't close. It shouldn't have been brought in the first place. He says that if this is not an exceptional case, this court fails to see what it is. And, you know, you can all read it for what it's worth. You can also affirm on any basis in the record, and there certainly is a basis in the record, to conclude that there was litigation misconduct here. My point is that Judge Gettleman's an experienced district court judge, and the review of his finding here is an entirely deferential one. And on this record, you cannot hardly conclude that he engaged in clear error.
Do I recall correctly that you have a motion pending for a frivolous appeal?
Yes, we do. And I'll touch on that. And you can see the frivolity in the brief where Nielsen repeatedly makes legal arguments about additional requirements for Section 285 finding. He argues that there should be a fraud element to Section 285. He argues that inequitable conduct standing alone should not qualify for Section 285. He argues that there should be an impact on patentability requirement. Yet this court in Osram 2 expressly rejected that legal argument. And I have the quote here. I'll just read it quickly. Appellants urge this court to reverse the district court's finding of any exceptional case because exceptionality, in their view, requires a showing of fraud. And Nielsen's inequitable conduct was benign, had little impact on patentability, and therefore was not fraudulent. We disagree with the appellant's interpretation of the law. Well, that's settled binding precedent. There's not been any en banc review by this court. There's not been any statutory change. There's not been any intervening U.S. Supreme Court decision. But they're here making the same arguments again. And that is the hallmark of a frivolous appeal, making the same legal arguments again that have been rejected without any good excuse, without any good basis. They're just ignoring. They choose just to ignore the fact that they lost. They raised these same exact legal issues, and they lost. And that is the hallmark of a frivolous case under Rule 38, the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. So in summary, this case comes to this court with a history where the underlying factual issues have been determined and are resolved, and a history where the underlying legal issues have been expressly presented and considered to this court and rejected. And on this record, it would be a grave injustice to suggest that Judge Gettleman, an experienced federal district court judge, committed clear error by not finding this was an exceptional case, clearly within his discretion. And I thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Mr. Hutchison.
With respect, there is history in this case, but one point of history that I would suggest to the court that you cannot consider is Mr. Anderson's comment that Mr. Nielsen is essentially a bad guy that has been found guilty of inequitable conduct in other cases on other records for conduct that's not relevant here. There is no rule in the law that I'm aware of that says that if someone commits inequitable conduct once, they are barred from the patent system essentially and can never litigate any other patents again. And that's essentially the standard he's arguing for. The record here has got to be considered on its own merits. Yes, this court in the Osram 2 decision did say that they affirmed Judge Dara on the record of inequitable conduct alone in that case, as well as on litigation misconduct. But the record on inequitable conduct in that case was far more broad and rich than it was here. There were affidavits that were found to be falsely submitted, not relevant here. There were prior art patents that were found to be withheld, not relevant here. If you want to take a look at the claim chart that's at pages 1677 to 1706 of the record and compare that with Judge Dara's ruling at 440 F sub second 9 or 896 to 98, you'll find that all of the claims held in Osram 2 that were unenforceable because of withheld prior art, none of those claims are asserted in this case. This court has continually held from Kingsdown Medical on that the litigation misconduct or the inequitable conduct has got to be relevant to a matter in litigation. So you have to consider only the conduct in question in this record. And that's one of our real problems with Judge Gettleman's ruling. He did not carefully consider, he did not in fact consider at all the conduct of record in this case. He merely got to the point of saying, well, you lost in Osram, you must lose here because some of the same patents in Osram are also present here. In our opposition to the sanctions motion, we cite U.S. versus Philip Morris, this is at page 4 to 5 of our opposition, a case in which the government showed the tobacco company to have committed an extensive fraud. And three federal district courts, since that ruling, have refused to apply preclusive effect to a subset of the findings in that much broader case because there was no showing that the subset of findings was outcome determinative. In order for preclusive effect to occur, you've got to show that that was the reason for the decision. Now, there was certainly a decision in Osram that we do not question, but there were other reasons supporting the inequitable conduct and exceptionality determinations in that decision that are not part of this record. This record needs to be considered on its own, and it falls short when it does. Thank you.
Thank you. Case is submitted.